Good morning, friends. My name is Vito. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm really glad to see each of your faces. It's really a gift to get to be in this room right now with every one of you. It's not an accident that any of us is here. So many different circumstances have brought us into this place, and I believe that God has brought us here for a reason, to build us up in his love and build us up by his presence. And so I'm really glad you're here with us. The way that we're going to do this now is we take time every week to, as Caroline said, turn our attention to the word of the Lord. We look at scripture together, and we're starting a new sermon series this week in the book of Jonah. Jonah is in what we refer to now as the Old Testament. It's a very short book. Jonah is one of the prophets. And Jonah is a unique book for a number of reasons. One of the reasons I think it's somewhat unique is that even if you didn't grow up in the church, and I'm not assuming that everybody here grew up in the church or even everybody here is a believer in Jesus, but everybody knows a little bit about Jonah. When I say Jonah and the, okay, thank you. I appreciate that out loud stuff there. Jonah and the whale, it comes into our minds. That's the first thing that comes into our mind. That's not a bad thing. But there is so much about this book that is so deep and that is so powerful, and I'm excited to give ourselves to it. Here's one of the things that we're going to do together that's pretty unique in terms of what we usually do up here. We are going to read together the entire book of Jonah out loud. I don't mean the whole thing today, but we are going to do it one chapter at a time. The whole book of Jonah can be read out loud in less than 5 minutes. Each chapter can be read in about 1 minute. And so that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to encourage you to do one more thing. You don't have to do this, of course, but maybe you might. That today when you get home, you might, if you have a Bible, get your Bible out. And you could put it maybe at your dinner table, maybe at your bedside. And maybe over the next 4 weeks, that's when we're going to be in Jonah, you might look at this book and look one chapter at a time. You might look at the whole thing. Because I think the more and more that you give yourself to this book, God is going to give you the gift of his presence and power. So here we go. We're going to read this thing. Read one chapter here. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What's your occupation, and where do you come from? What's your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Maybe the main exposure that you've had to this book is as a children's story. Maybe you might, in your life, has moved along and you've seen it in a children's Bible. Have any of you seen this? Have maybe, if some of you grew up in church, you maybe even had the little felt board with a little fish or a whale. One of the obstacles maybe to receiving what God has in the story is we think of it as a children's story. But you know, even if it is a children's story, and I don't think it really is, you know, children's stories have a lot to teach us. You know, you move along in life and you think, well, I'm not going to read children's stories anymore. I'm not going to read fairy tales anymore. I'm not going to read children's stories. But children's stories sometimes have the most powerful stuff in them. You know, maybe some of you know that children's story of somebody who turned themselves into a great monster, a great beast, by the things that they have done, and the only way that they can be saved is if someone loves them unconditionally. That's not a children's story, that's real life. Maybe some of you know the children's story of maybe a land that had been taken over by a great dragon, a serpent that overcomes a kingdom, and the only way that that kingdom can be saved and redeemed is if the king will come and lay his life down. That's not a children's story, that's real life. Children's stories, if you have eyes to see, sometimes we'll show you a lot more. And even if this story is a children's story, which it is not, it's a story about the most essential things in life. I asked you before, what do you think of? Jonah and the whale. Some translations, it's a whale. Some translations, it's a great fish, like it is here. But really, what I want you to think of, I'm going to put this in your minds now. This is the story of Jonah and the Word. Would you take a look at the very first verse? It's going to come up on either side of me here. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord. You think of that, you see it, and you think this is a religious phrase, saying, and you're right to think that to some degree. The phrase, the word of the Lord came to, appears in the Bible over 100 times. But please do not put it in the religious part of your brain. Please don't look at it and think about it as something that you learned in Sunday school or maybe something that a preacher like me says. The word of the Lord came means that God wants to communicate and have a conversation with you. The word of the Lord came. That means our God is a God who speaks. And all through the Bible, it says this over and over and over. At the very beginning of the Bible, the way that God created all of this that you can see out the window, he spoke it into existence. His word is powerful. When he speaks, things happen. When he speaks, the ground upon you which you walk, it comes into being. The word of the Lord comes and it creates things. Over and over, we see the word of the Lord is something that is so powerful and necessary, not something religious. Some of you know this. You look in the Psalms. What is it that is a light to your path and a lamp to your feet? When you're moving through life, what is the lamp? It's the word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word is what illuminates which way we're supposed to go. The Gospel of John says that Jesus is the Word. My point in all of this is the Word of the Lord came, that's a conversation. And that is the essential part of what this book is about. The Word of the Lord comes to Jonah. It's not that he ends up inside of a fish. Not many of us are going to end up inside of a fish, I hope. But the Word of the Lord is going to come to every single one of you. I promise you this. The Word of the Lord has come to every single person in this room. And will continue to come to every single person in this room. And the question of Jonah's life and the question of your life is, will you receive that word? Will you continue to have a conversation? Did you notice here at the very beginning when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah? He does not reply. He just runs. God wants to have a conversation with Jonah. He wants to have a conversation with you. That's the primary question of your life. Will you receive God's word? Will you have a conversation with him? When God speaks to you, and he's going to do it, he has done it, will you respond? There's a song in the Black Church that I really, really love. And it encapsulates, I think, the posture that I hope all of us will be given as a gift when God's word comes to us. It goes like this. It says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. God's word speaks to you, and he wants you to say yes. He wants you to receive it. Even right now, that might be happening. Now, here's a question which comes up in the book, and it certainly will come up in your life. How do you know God is speaking to you? How do you know what he's going to say? How do you know it's not just something that you're doing? Well, if you look in this story, you're going to see at least two things that are going to bear out if it's God's voice in your life. When God speaks to you, I'm going to put it in this way, it's going to be personal to you, and it's going to be vocational. God's word is going to be personal and vocational. So as you move through your life and God speaks to you, and he will, one of the ways you're going to be able to test it is this God calling me? Is this God speaking to me? It's going to be personal and it's going to be vocational. Let's talk about the first one. God's word is personal. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Jonah is running from the Lord. Now, we kind of know this is silly. You can't run from God, but Jonah is attempting to do it, but he's attempting to run from the personal, intimate conversation that God wants from him. That phrase, the presence of the Lord, literally in Hebrew, it means from the face of the Lord. So what Jonah is running from, he knows that God's everywhere, but what he doesn't want, what is really getting after him is God wants to be personal with him, to know what's up in his business, to find out how he's going to live his life, to change how he's going to live his life. And that's what he's running from. And he's going to Tarshish. Tarshish, in Jonah's mind, would have been like the farthest place that you could go. Like, it's sort of like the same way if I'm talking about, we went so far. We went out past Timbuktu. You know, that's kind of a colloquial say of you can't go any farther. Jonah is going to the place that's not any farther. You can't get any farther than Tarshish. It's the farthest place that you can go. In fact, I'm pointing the wrong way. It actually would be this way if I'm looking at you. He's going to the westernmost part of the Mediterranean Sea. He's trying to get as far away as he possibly can because he doesn't want to have God personally involved in his life. He doesn't want the face of the Lord. Right now I'm looking at your faces and you're looking at mine. It's the most intimate thing you can do, really, to see someone's eyes, to see someone's face. And it says here that God has a face. And he wants to be intimate with Jonah. And he wants a conversation. He wants to speak to Jonah, and he wants Jonah to speak back to him. And that's what Jonah is running from. When I say God's word is personal, when he say he wants to interact with you personally, I mean he wants a conversation with you. And you could maybe think of it as opposed to speaking about God. There's a difference between speaking to God and speaking about God. And I'll tell you, nobody knows that more than a preacher. A professional hazard of my job is that I talk about God all the time. You can talk about God all sorts of ways. I think God would think this. I think God wants this. You know, God's values are this. We can talk about God all day. But it's very different to talk with God, to speak to God and trust he's listening, and then to listen and to trust he's speaking, to really receive it and to receive it in this really, really personal way. And Jonah doesn't want that, and so he's running away. You know you can't run from God, right? Y'all know that? Jonah knows it too. But you know, you can say, we can talk about it here, we say, oh, you can't run from God. He's everywhere. You can't run from the presence of the Lord, but we try to do it anyway. I bet everybody here, I know I certainly have, tried to run from God, and we try to do little things like we say, oh, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to run from God. I'm not going to go to church anymore. But God will be there with you, whether it be in a room like this or whether it be a room far away from anything religious. We try to do it. We say, well, I'm not going to read scripture anymore. I'm not going to do that. God will find a way to speak to you. He'll speak to you. Did you notice who he's speaking to Jonah through in this boat? It's people on that ship. They're mariners. And did you notice they're not believers? They're praying to their own gods, and yet they have something to say to Jonah. God is speaking. People in your life who may or may not be Christians, may or may not be religious at all, God will speak through them to you. To flee from the presence of God makes about as much sense as saying, I'm going to get away from the sky and the sun. I'm going to fly some faraway place, and I'm going to get away from it. You can't do it. What God wants from you is a conversation. When Jonah flees away, he's putting himself in danger. He's putting himself in jeopardy. There's something in the text. I don't know if you noticed it. I bet you some of you maybe did. Jonah is fleeing to Tarshish. He's going to the farthest western part of the Mediterranean Sea. So imagine right now, have it in your mind's eye. Imagine you're looking at a map, and there's the Mediterranean. And on this side is Israel. That's where he's at. And he's going to go to the farthest western part. I'm doing it so you guys can see it. The map is, you see what I'm doing? Now, if you're looking down at that map and you look west, what direction is it? Left. West is left. So you're looking down. But did you notice when it says that Jonah flees to Tarshish, it doesn't say left and it doesn't say west. What does it say? Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. If you look at it on a map, he's not going down. But when he's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, he's going down. And if you think this is just a coincidence, it does it again. The author of the book is trying to get us to see something. Verse 5, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. It does it again. Jonah even admits it. He knows it if you go to chapter 2, verse 6. I went down to the land whose bars closed down upon me forever. As Jonah is running from God, as he's trying to get away from the face of the Lord, he is going down, down, down. And I know that's a dramatic thing to say, but it's just true. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That when you run from the presence of the Lord, when you run from his face, his loving face, it's going to be down and down and down. But here's the last thing I want to say about this. Even those of us who have run from God, who've tried to get away from the presence of the Lord, did you know the scripture says that he will come after you in love? Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee? If I go up into the heavens, you're there. If I go down into Sheol, the land of the dead, you are there. It even sounds a little bit like the writer of the Psalms is talking about Jonah. If I go to the farthest most part of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. My dear friends, no matter how far you run, God's love is going to pursue you and take you up. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So God's word comes to Jonah, and it's personal. How do you know God's word is going to come? It's personal. It gets in your business. It's a conversation. That's the first thing. Now here's the second one. God's word will always be personal for you, but it'll also be vocational. Take a look at verse 1 again, verse 1 and 2, actually. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. It's not just personal. God doesn't just say, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a conversation with you. He does do that. But he also has a job for Jonah. He has a vocation. So when God comes to you, he's going to come and he's going to say, I want you to be mine. I want you to be my kid. I want to love you. And also, I want you to be part of the family business. And what he has for Jonah is he says, I want you to go and tell people who don't know it that I love them and they should walk in the way of love. And you see this in scripture over and over. When God comes and speaks, it always is with a vocation. And I bet those of you who know your Bibles a little bit, you know this. The word of the Lord comes to Moses and he says, I have a job for you. Go and speak freedom to my people who are in captivity. He speaks it to Isaiah. He says, Isaiah, come close. I know it's scary to be in my presence, but I want you to go and I want you to preach and proclaim. Jesus calls Peter and he says, I want you to go be a shepherd. I want you to feed my sheep. God's word is always going to come with a vocation. And here's where I get really excited, because I'm looking out at your faces and I can see that God not only has called you to be his children, but I look at your faces and I see God has great jobs for you, vocations, callings for each one of you to use you in the world, to make his kingdom known in so many ways. I'm using the word vocation. It's kind of a $10 word. I know it's a little weird, but I wanted to use it because some of the other words that I could have used for it wouldn't really, something would have gotten lost. What if I had said, God's word is always missional. It sends us on mission. You might say, well, I'm not a missionary. That's not my thing. I don't do mission. Or if I had said, God's calling always calls us to ministry, and say, you're the minister, you do that. But vocation, that's a Latin word which means calling. It means God knows your name, and he has something for each one of you. And it could be in your family, or it could be in your job, or it could be your school, or it could be at this church. God has ways that he wants to bring about his kingdom in this world. And right now, even as he's calling you, he wants you to hear his voice, which is calling you to belong to him, but also for you to be used in the world. Maybe not used. Maybe to be part of his family. Maybe God isn't going to use you. Maybe he wants to play with you, for you to follow alongside him, Jesus walking alongside you in the world. That's part of his vocation. But there's one more thing I want to say about his vocation. God's word comes to him. And part of the vocation of God's word in your life is not only to change people out there. He says, go out and tell people about God's love. They need to change. They're walking in evil ways. Yes? Yes. Who gets changed the most in this book? It's Jonah. And Jonah gets changed in all kinds of the deepest sorts of ways. When God's word comes into your life, he's going to change you. He's going to change you from the inside. Jonah needs to be changed. We'll talk about this a little bit as we keep going in the book. But Jonah's got a hard heart. And Jonah is, he is that worst kind of person. He is a preacher. God's word comes to him and says, I don't want you to keep talking about me. I want you to talk to me. And I want you to proclaim my love to the people in this world. And he finds out that he has to be changed as much as anybody. He has to find out that God's love is bigger than his boundaries. It's bigger than the narrow kind of lanes that he has it in. But we'll get to that in a little bit. For right now, I want you, let's end this way. Let's pray. Let's listen for, let's ask for God's word to come to each one of us individually, but also to come to our community, to come to LMCC. And whether or not you ever come to LMCC again, LMCC is your community right now. In this moment, we are family. And God's word is going to come to us right now and is going to bring it personally into our lives, but also vocationally. Let's pray right now. I'm going to lead us. I'm going to leave some spaces of silence. But let's pray and ask God to come by his word to speak to us, to fill us. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask boldly for this awesome thing, that the word of the Lord would come to each one of us. That the word of the Lord would come to our hearts and minds in the things that are most personal to us. We will not have ears to hear unless you give us these ears. We will not have eyes to see unless you give us these eyes. We will not be changed unless it's your voice. So come, Father, speak your word by the power of your Spirit to each person in this room. I pray in the name of Jesus, help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear your word which is personal. Our Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your word would come now and open up all the many vocations you have for us, your calling, to help us proclaim your love in the world, in word and in deed. You've placed each one of us in the place where we're at, our jobs, our friends, our church, our apartment building. You've placed us here. Now help us to see, how can we serve you here? How can we, in creative and imaginative and wild ways and quiet ways, proclaim your love? Your word is power, your word is glory, and your word is love. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord of love, that you laid your life down for us, and that in your resurrection, you have spoken the word that overcomes death. I thank you that for each person here, you've made a decision to lay your life down. Now help us to respond to that word of love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.